Please turn our Bibles to Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. We know that as we serve the Lord, there will be times where we find great joy. You minister to God's people, you minister to in the various capacity which the Lord has called you to, and the Lord grant good fruit, the Lord permits your way to be smooth, and then when you see God's people growing in His Word, well, your hearts will be filled with joy. But there will be times where we will meet with challenges. There will be times where we meet with disappointments. And sometimes it feels as though there is no progress in the area of ministry which the Lord has called you to. You tried the best to serve Him, but there are obstacles. And then you serve for many years. You serve for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And perhaps at the end of 40 years, some with whom you are serving, they turn out, instead of being friends, they turn out to be enemies. And now they come and now they try to hinder the work which the Lord has committed unto you. And sometimes they may even succeed. When you face with such a situation, how will you handle? What will your response be? Sometimes it can be very distressing, isn't it? It can be very sad. It is at such points of time that we need to be reminded that when it comes to the Lord's work, while at a particular juncture, it may seem as though nothing seems to be done, that there may not seem to be progress. Yet in the Lord's power, with the Lord's help, and in the Lord's sovereign decree, we know that all things will work out for good and that God's work is unstoppable. And that is exactly the theme of the book of Ezra from chapters 4 all the way to chapter 7. In fact, from Ezra chapter 4 to the end of Ezra chapter 6, this portion of the Bible is specially written in Aramaic. Why Aramaic? Because you will notice that the people who were opposing the children of Israel, they were the people of the nations. There were, for example, the Samaritans who in Ezra chapter 4 wanted a part in the building of the temple. The children of Israel rightly took their stand for the Lord. They said no. And from then on, persecution was very strong. They were simply unhappy that the children of Israel say no. And because of that, while the children of Israel were dwelling in the land, the people of the land persecuted them. And they were people with a lot of power. They were people with a lot of authority. They were people with a lot of riches. Their numbers are much larger than the children of Israel. And at one point of time, the children of Israel were so distressed and discouraged, they decided to return back to their old life and they built their own houses instead of the house of God. But how we thank thee that with the rebuke of Haggai and Zechariah, they returned back to rebuilding the temple. But as they return to rebuild the temple, it is not without problems, isn't it? The problems, just because, right, 16 years has passed, since the laying of the foundation, it does not mean that the people have diminished in their hatred for the children of Israel. And so when the work was starting, you will have Tatnai as well as Shetar Bosnai coming down and asking, by whose authority, right, do you build this house? By whose authority are you building this wall? We thank God for the godly response of the children of Israel. Instead of rendering evil for evil, they render good for evil. They were very respectful to all these people who come, even though they know that they are enemies from high places. Nevertheless, they are aware that they are the authority which God has placed over their lives, the government authority. And so they just simply reply in a very humble and in a very polite fashion, asking them, persuading them, please check the records. For in the government records, there should be a record of Cyrus, the king of Babylon. Yeah, of course, he's called the king of Babylon, not because he belongs to the Babylonians, but he conquered Babylon. And now, therefore, he was the new king, starting off the Medo-Persian government. You check the records. In the beginning, he made a decree that we, as the children of Israel, we can return to rebuild this temple. And not only just that, but we will be allowed possession of the instruments which Nebuchadnezzar brought out from the first temple. Please, go and check. Please go and check. So everything seems to lie in the hands of Darius the king, right? Basically, just like how Paul appeared to Caesar down here, the people appeared to Darius. Please help. And it's all really up to Darius and whether or not Darius can find that particular decree which was made by Cyrus maybe 17, 18 years ago. Those days was not the days of the internet. Nowadays, with the internet, you want to find a decree very easy. Or there is this government law that is written. You just go and find, you click, tick, 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 and then it will appear. Oh, there is this record, electronic record. You can see easily in the computer. In those days, well, everything was written in scrolls, and then they were stored in the library, stored in the treasuries. And then they can easily be forgotten. That's why in the account of the book of Esther, remember Mordecai helped to prevent the assassination of the king. After he prevented the assassination of the king, a record was made, a record was then archived, and then it was all forgotten. And if it was not for the Lord causing the king to have insomnia, he was unable to sleep, and somehow the Lord placed in the heart of the king a desire to read records. Who want to read records? Anyone of you want to read records when you have insomnia? I don't know. But this king it's a good thing to do at night to read government records of things that happened in the past. And then he read and then he found by Mordecai. And so therefore, the slaughter of Mordecai as well as the slaughter of the Jews was prevented. It just so happened that he read and then it was buried somewhere in the records. It could have very easily been lost. It could have very easily been forgotten. And so, with regards to this decree, even though there was a cry made to find this particular pronouncement made by King Cyrus, there is every possibility that this decree may not be able to be found. And so, we thank God that when it comes to his work, was it the Lord's will for the temple to be rebuilt? Yes, indeed, it was his will. He specially commissioned it and caused Darius to pronounce the decree. And now with regards to this situation, will the work of the temple be stopped? Of course not. It will not be stopped. And in this particular case, we praise the Lord that the Lord intervened and helped the decree of Darius to be able to be found. Now, what we have down here in the book of Ezra chapter 6, is a decree. And a decree, as you remember, a decree, this whole session was written in Aramaic. Why in Aramaic? Because it's specially written not just as a witness to the children of Israel, but also a witness to the enemies of Jehovah, that they may know that despite their various oppositions against Jehovah, they can never fight against Jehovah and win. That in the end, Jehovah can intervene and Jehovah can make his work proceed. And that is exactly what we see here in Ezra chapter 6. The Lord intervenes. Darius make a search for this decree. Of course, when he says Darius make a search, he will of course have his servants to make this search in the house of the rose, in the house of the government records. So it will take some time to find where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Akhmeta in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll, a scroll. And there was a record, a memorandum that was written inside this particular roll, particular scroll. So what you have is a scroll of government records. Now, there will probably be a lot of other things written in this scroll, not only just this decree. And so these people will need to take the scroll and then unroll it, right, to try and find this decree. So by itself is already something that is very amazing. You can, for example, appear unto Darius. You can appeal to Darius all you want, but it does not mean that Darius will be serious to go and find the scrolls, right? He has to get his men, and the men have to be very diligent in finding the records. And this record, this decree can be buried somewhere in the midst of all these records. It's really like finding a needle in the haystack. Who would want to spend so much time to find? The king can just say, so be it. Just do whatever you want with regards to the Jews. I don't care. Well, thank God the king was not like this, and thank God the servants were also diligent to find those records and to really scrutinize it until finally they found this memorandum. I remember the king make a pronouncement, right? You will realize that the pronouncement make in Ezra chapter 1 is much shorter. That particular pronouncement written in Hebrew, well, possibly it is an oral pronouncement, or it could be that it is a session of written in Hebrew that is a summary of this particular decree that is written down here. Whatever the case, it is a shortened version, and what is declared and pronounced orally can very easily be lost, not recorded. Well, we thank God that it is recorded, and not only recorded, it can be found. And not only was it found, but here, the details of the exact decree became very important in helping the children of Israel to continue the work of rebuilding the temple. More details are found down here. You just look very carefully. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king make a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. So very specific, it is the house of God at Jerusalem, the very house in which is now the issue in Ezra chapter 5. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. The height thereof 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits. Now, if you study the dimensions of the Solomon's temple, you will realize that Solomon's temple, in fact, was much shorter than 70 cubits. It was, in fact, about 20 to 30 cubits. And then, with regards to the breadth, it was definitely also shorter than 70 cubits. And what you have down here is very amazing. You have the king himself, Cyrus the king, pronouncing that the foundations and later the height of this building to be even greater than what it was before. Now, we know that later on when the temple was built, and there were records of the temple that was built after this, they know that while it was not fully at 70 cubits, neither was the breadth at 70 cubits. Now, of course, this does not mean that there was an error, right, given down here in the book of Ezra. But what it means is this, that the king was very, very generous in order to provide land for the temple to be built. All this would therefore be the maximum provisions that you have for the temple. I allowed the temple to be built, and therefore, what would be the land, and what would therefore be the dimensions of this temple, right? It's just like, for example, you want to build a building in Singapore. You have to obtain permission, right, to build this building, right? You have to attain a land permit, and then you have to obtain a building permit, and then there will be certain restrictions given to you. The base can only be this particular dimensions, maximum, and the height can only be this particular height. And for example, in certain places in Singapore, if you stay near, for example, Changi Airport, like you see here, right, this area, all the buildings are very short. You're not going to find the buildings that are as tall as in, for example, Clementi. I know in Clementi, have you gone to Clementi Central? I'm using Clementi not because I'm called Clement, right? Because I really visited there. I have a friend there who stayed in Clementi. You know the Central, you go there? The building, she stayed all the way 40-story high, you know? But then you open the window, wow, because you face the sea, wow, the wind is so strong, you don't need aircon. In fact, the wind is too strong, they close the window. Because everything in the house gets blown about. Cannot keep the paper still. 40-story, very, very tall. Right, and in that particular area, you can be allowed to build so high. You cannot build a 40-story down here, no, near Changi Airport. There's no way you can do it. There'll be a restriction that is given, only certain height. Right. So what is the height limit for the buildings here? I don't know. You can ask all those who are involved in this particular industry. They will know. So what you're given down here is that decree, right? You can build up to 70 cubits. You can build up to 70 cubits in terms of height, 70 cubits in terms of breadth. Very generous. Larger than even the original. This is God's intervention. God can intervene and God will intervene. And then with 3 rows of great stones, or even specify what can be added, that 3 rows of great stones, a row of new timber, let the expenses be given out of the king's house. Wow, so the children of Israel don't even need to worry about the resources. The king himself will pay for it. And then what is important also, verse 5, because if you read what the children of Israel said to Tatnai, right, in verse 13, right, of chapter 5, you see what they say, right? They told Tatnai that in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus make a decree to build this house of God. And then verse 14, and the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them into the temple of Babylon. These did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he made governor. Well, that was the testimony of the children of Israel. Now, what was found in the decree was this. Verse 5, and also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem. Every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. Do you see the similarity with the words that are spoken by the children of Israel? This is a verification. This means that whatever the children of Israel say, it was not a lie, it was the truth, it was a fact. And it established exactly their testimony and their statement. How wonderful, isn't it, this intervention by the Lord. The children of Israel appeared unto Darius, and the Lord helped. The Lord intervened, using the government of the land to help them. And it is a government which, if you read carefully, the records as well as the biblical records, right? The historical records and the biblical records, you will realize that it was a government that was not necessarily very kind to the children of Israel. But the Lord helped and intervened using a government statute which we all know once it's made cannot be reversed. That was the culture of the times. Intervention. And this time, the government, as the way the Lord as the Lord's instrument to intervene in this particular situation. I'm not sure whether you have been helped in this way before or not. For me, when I read this particular passage, it is a passage that strangely warms me, because there are times in my life where there could have been issues that may arise, and then somehow there are government laws and statutes that will come and help. Cannot reveal too many details. I can only tell you of one particular incident where my studies in the Far Eastern Bible College could have been seriously disrupted. And then suddenly, because of, you know, there is this whole VPP issue and everything, right? And so the FEBC themselves, they were finding records. So they were digging records from the past, right? Really like the records and rules. And last time, it's not electronic records, no, it's all written. And thank God, Reverend Toh is a person who likes to keep records. If Reverend Toh is like me, sometimes I don't like to keep records. I only keep electronic, hard copy I don't like. But I'm trying my best. I'm keeping the records. But it's not my disposition, you see. But Reverend Toh, yes, he is very careful. He kept a lot of records. That is why the students has a lot of records to type this semester, right? Yes, where's Rachel? Is she around? Yes, a lot of records to type, right? He's very diligent. He keeps a lot of records. And so they dig. They are trying to find whatever can help in the legal case. And then they open, and then they find one particular statute. Wow, the statute is even older than me. Sometime during the independence of Singapore. That's how old it was. And because of that statute, my studies in FEBC do not need to be disrupted. First person to be under this statute. They did not know, no? All they did not know. It was found and it was published. And so the Lord helped. Otherwise, it would have been so difficult, very, very difficult. And of course, there are other incidences. Can the Lord intervene? No, if it's the Lord's will for you to continue in His work, of course He can intervene. We must not think that, you know, the Lord, in the midst of difficult situations, cannot work. In this case, the Lord, well, He helped. And just like in the case of Ezra chapter 6, the Lord helped. I do not know about you, whether or not you have such experiences in your life whereby there was trouble, and then somehow a particular law or statute was found, and then in the end it helped you. And you did not even know that this law existed, but then somehow it was brought to your attention, and then you were protected, you were delivered. Do not think that all these things happen by chance. Please understand, it's the Lord's help. And the Lord intervened in this particular case. And so therefore, this particular decree moved the heart of Darius. Just like how the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, now the Lord moves the heart of Darius. And you will realize that the Lord not only will intervene, but the Lord intervened in such a way in which the children of Israel was both provided for, right, in terms of their work, and also protected. Watch. Verse 6. Now therefore, Tatnai, governor beyond the river. And then you have this person called Shetabosnai, and your companions, the Afasakites, which are beyond the river, be ye far from them. So now God will not only intervene, but God intervene in such a way that the children of Israel are protected. God will intervene, God will protect. So long as God has meant for you to be in your particular place to do your work, God will protect you. Does not mean there will not be troubles. There will be troubles. But when the time comes, God will make sure that you stay, will stay your feet, just like in this particular case. These people, they were seeking to destroy the children of Israel, they were seeking to stop the work of the temple, and now they have the king saying, please, don't even go near to these people, be far from them, be away, don't trouble them at all. Can you imagine that? And so what it would mean is that therefore Tatnai and the rest of his merry friends, they would not even be able to lay a finger on the children of Israel so long as it involves the rebuilding of the temple. They have to keep their distance because the king says so. And remember, this is in a memorandum. It's not only pronounced, it is written. okay, written, and in Aramaic, everybody can read, the lingua franca of those days. Be far from thence, and let the work of the house of God alone. Let the governor do his work. Let the elders of the Jews build this house of God in peace. And so no matter what the oppressors want to do right now, they may be very fierce, they may be steaming in their heart, wanting to stop the children of Israel. They now cannot do a single thing simply because of the king's decree. This was the intervention of the Lord to protect the children of Israel. And that is exactly what can happen to us also, isn't it? Sometimes when you go, for example, to the mission field, or perhaps you go to the workplace, and then there are fierce people seeking to destroy you. Should it be the Lord's will that you remain in that particular place? Should it be that the Lord wants you to continue your weakness, no matter what they try to do to you? Or maybe perhaps they can hurt you in certain ways. It is possible. But no matter what, they cannot remove you. You are protected. Just like the children of Israel. They are protected. And not only are they protected, but they are also provided for. Watch. Verse 8. Moreover, I make a decree, what ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of the house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, for with expenses be given unto these men that they be not hindered. So now in terms of money, in terms of monetary terms, they are provided for. Right? What the king is simply doing is fulfilling what Cyrus has already said in the past. Out of the king's treasury, expenses will be paid with regards to temple. So now he's just continuing what was stated in the earlier decree. I want the expenses of the house of God to be paid. Whatever tribute. Right? Normally who gives tribute, by the way? Who gives tribute? It's the people who is under oppression that is being given tribute, right? And now the children of Israel, they are the ones that are under the Medo-Persian government. If anyone is to give tribute, it would be the children of Israel. And ironically, remember the false accusation of the enemies of the children of Israel in Ezra chapter 4. What was the false accusation of the Jews? The false accusation of the Jews is, if you let them to rebuild Jerusalem and you let them rebuild the temple, they will not want to pay tribute unto you, O king. And look at the irony down here. The irony down here is the king says, I myself will pay tribute from out of my own treasury to make sure that the house of God is built. So who is paying tribute to who? Of course, the children of Israel is still paying tribute to the king. But now the king himself willingly paid tribute of his own goods so that the expenses of the house of God will be met. Do you see the amazing God in action down here? The king himself will pay for it. And the detail in which he goes into thinking of how to build the house of God is simply astounding. Why so? Because you will realize that it's not only in terms of monetary terms in which the king provided for the children of Israel. You look at verses 9 onwards. Verse 9. And that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail. Day by day without fail, so daily. Okay, because we know that the children of Israel, they need to make daily sacrifices. And then verse 10, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. So because the king had a desire that his kingdom will last forever, and as you know, the kings in those days, they would want to pray to many of the gods. And so because he has such a desire now, he wants this house to be made so that prayer can be made unto him so that his kingdom can last forever. Right? That is exactly what King Darius wanted. And so he says, now with regards to all things needed for religious practices, all these things shall be provided for. Now, it's because of this particular passage that is listed down here that some people rejected the book of Ezra and Ezra chapter 6. Why? Because they say that how can a king know so many details concerning the religious practice of the Jews? Because whatever is stated down here is very accurate, as we will see later. Very accurate. Now, of course, we are children of the faith, right? We shouldn't be thinking like this. In fact, the accuracy should only serve to strengthen our trust in God. It is God who makes the heart of the king to be so concerned about the house of God that he is concerned not only with the infrastructure, that even with the way the religious practice is conducted, he is so interested to make sure that it can go on without a hitch. And that he did his research and that he went to read whatever is necessary and then in the end granted exactly what the children of Israel need. This is the Lord's working, my dear friends. Please do not fail to see it. Do not be like the liberals who think in such critical ways and critique the Bible and then try to destroy it. And because of this says that therefore this book must be rejected. No. In fact, it should only serve to show us that our God is a God that can truly intervene, a God who can truly protect, a God that can truly provide, and that his work will continue to proceed if it is in his decree. How accurate was the description of verses 9 and 10 with regards to the practice, religious practices of the children of Israel? Most people were astounded because of the statement wheat, salt, and wine, and the fact that you have bullocks, rams, and lambs. Right, these are things that are required for the offerings, right? This we know. But how about the wheat, the salt, and the wine? Wine is that which is required for the drink offering. Then what about wheat and salt? Right, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. And then you look at right verse 1 to verse 3 first, right? And when any will will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, right? His offering, right? This meat will be a food offering. It can be something like a grain offering. You look here. His offering shall be of fine flour, right? Flour made of wheat. Yeah, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof, when all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And after that, they will talk about cakes made with flour. And of course, all this flour comes from where? All this flour comes from wheat. So the wheat is now provided for. Right? Wheat necessary for the Lord's offering, and also what necessary for the survival of who? Survival of the priests and the Levites. Otherwise, the priests and the Levites cannot operate. Well, you can have the whole temple, you can have the whole structure, no offerings. What's the point of the temple? Right? Because that's the other thing that the enemies can stop, you know. You right, by be harmless as doves, but wise as serpents. If I can't stop the infrastructure, what is the next thing I can stop? I stop the offering. Like you build the building, I let you build, you spend all your money. I stop you from offering, then your building is a white elephant. And that is exactly what the enemies would want. But now even the offerings also, they cannot stop. Even the wheat offering also cannot stop. Now the Levites and the priests, they can survive. And how did the king know this? The Lord's doing. Right? He researched. Probably asked his servants to research. And then, he found out that this is needed. Let this be provided for. And then, that's now you read about the salt, right? Well, what about the sword? Well, you look at verses 13 onwards, right? And every oblation of thy meat offering shall be, right, seasoned with what? With salt. Ah, cannot just offer the meat offering, right, the grain offering, the flour offering without salt, you know, must always be seasoned with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thy offerings thou shalt offer salt. So it's not only the wheat, no, because he provided the wheat, it is useless. The wheat cannot be an acceptable offering before the Lord. But now the salt that is needed to for the offerings, right? Because all the offerings must be salted with the salt of the covenant, right? Representing the covenant between God and the children of Israel. This salt that is needed is now provided for. Every single detail, every single provision which is needed for the Lord's work, everything, every detail is provided for. And that is something that we must learn. Because when we talk about the Lord's work, if you are truly abiding in the Lord's work, then you, whether or not you are in the full-time ministry of the word, or whether or not you are perhaps serving the Lord in your workplaces, you must always remember this, that when it comes to the provision of God, whatever you need to serve the Lord, you will have. You will have. It will be sufficient. And that is why, if you look at the weekly today, now the weekly today, right, please go back and read the articles. They are specially produced because of specially chosen two articles adapted, right, from Reverend Toh's writings because of certain incidents that happened in our church recently, issues that affect us and also the BP Church at large. The first is the permissive will of God. Please go and read. And then the second one is the beginnings of a young pastor. This is what Reverend Toh has written, right, in his autobiography, The Son of a Mother's Vow, how he first started out. And you will realize that, you know, from the first paragraph, this is what he says. So allow me to just read the first paragraph to you. If the saying where the bishop is, there's the flock is true, then the corollary, how the pastor is trained, determines the pattern of the pastorate is also true. Two vital lessons that the pastor designate of the Life Church English Service had learned in his seminary days that were vital to the founding of the new church were, number one, separation from doctrinal and ecclesiastical apostasy, and two, absolute dependence on the Lord for financial support. And so the rest of the article deals with how, when this English service was formed, they were shocked that the new pastor did not want to take the salary directly from the mother church, but instead was willing to depend solely on the on whoever attends the English service and refused to draw much money. And he, as you read that one, you realize, even with the amount of course, hundreds in those days could mean some thousands, but nevertheless, the amount given is very, very small. And yet somehow, the work took off. The Lord provided. And when and God willing, we'll probably run a little bit more of the chapter because of the length. I can only produce part of it. The next one has to do with housing. The Lord provided. The Lord provided housing. Every detail that was needed, it was provided. Now, this is, of course, with regards to Reverend Toh's life, who was a minister of the word. But please do not think that the principle is any different from any one of us who is serving the Lord in other capacity. It is also the same. Do you need finances or certain provisions for God's work to maintain a testimony, for example, with regards to your family? Or perhaps there may be a certain ministry in the church which the Lord has directed us to do. Will there be provision for that particular area of service? Well, there will be. Now, of course, that does not mean that you do not spend prudently, that you can spend any way you want. There must be proper prudence. That is human responsibility. But at the same time, would there be provision? There will be. And the way Reverend Toh describes it is that, you know, when Paul has need, God will not rob Peter to give to Paul. he will get another from some other means to provide for Paul. And that is exactly what we see down here also in the book of Ezra. It was provided for. The sacrifices, that is exactly what they need for the work to proceed, because you just have the building, you don't have sacrifices, the work of God can be considered a failure. The whole work can be considered a failure. What's the point? But now the sacrifices can be made. It will not be hindered day by day. Daily sacrifices, exactly what the children of Israel needed to offer. And the enemies cannot do one thing to stop it. Because if they do it, look at the decree that is given. Let timber be pulled down from his house being set up. Let him be hanged thereon. Let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the God that have caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of God which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree. Let it be done with speed. You want to go against this decree, you'll be prepared. The king will deal with you and you will be destroyed. And not only that, here the pronouncement, he even pronounced an implication that God himself in heaven will deal with his enemies. And in fact, while this came from the hands of unbelievers, this is exactly what God later would decree in Daniel chapter 7 when he will say that whoever will stand in his way, he will destroy. And that is exactly what we see in the book of Revelation. And he used the king to declare his own implication, the Lord's own implication. The children of Israel, they were protected. They were provided for. The Lord intervened. The result, you will realize the enemies can try all they want to stop the building of the temple. But in verses 13 to 15, we read that the temple was completed. And the irony of it, those that opposed the work, they were forced to provide for the work. The ones who very much want to stop it have no choice but to help in the building of the temple, because the king says, you help, you go, you provide, and make sure the work proceeds speedily. No more obstacles, at least for now, with regards to the building of the temple. And then, by March 12, 516 BC, 20 years of rebuilding, finally the work was completed. Yes, many obstacles took longer than perhaps what we may expect. But was the temple completed? Yes. God's work is indeed unstoppable. Nothing can stand in his way. He can intervene, he can move events, even things that are written in the past. God can use it to help us. Innocuous events that we perhaps right now we may not pay attention to it, may one day suddenly turn out to help us with regards to his work. And that is exactly the experience that I had when I was a student in FEBC. I remember, when I read this passage, I remember the days where I came in, and then it was days that were very difficult, even from the very first semester. They wanted to shut down the college. It was the time where they threatened to lock the doors of the FEBC hall. At the point of time, we only had a hall. And then the Greek and Hebrew rooms that is now currently the library. The library extended, right? Last time it was a small library, now they extended it to cover the whole of the Greek and Hebrew room. Hebrew rooms, they take over, they break down the walls, and now it's one complete library if you go and visit right now. But last time most of the lessons were held in the FEBC hall. They wanted to padlock the FEBC hall. And they even wanted to shut us down. And so entering in, we were thinking, oh, where can we study? And at the point of time, we can't even go to Bueller House. We were banned. We cannot even walk in as a student. And so you go in, you have no classrooms. How to study? Where got college without classroom? No classroom. And then you're just entering in. And so I remember there were people that came and then talked to us, including myself. How, let's say, if it's really shut down and then FEBC cannot work, where are you going to go? Will you go and join the Life Church site? And then some of us made a very funny answer, but quite humorous but full of meaning. if the Africans can meet under the tree and then have a church, we can also meet under a tree and have our Bible college. True, right? A lot of trees in around FEBC last time, like, a lot of trees. Like, now they cut down because of the downtown line. A lot of trees. So meet under a tree and have a meeting. But look at how the Lord intervened. Right? The Lord intervened through what? Also through the law of the land. In the end, the announcement, the pronouncement was made by the Court of Appeal. And now we can have our lessons at Beulah House. Last time as students, you know, as a student, I never ever dreamed I would step into Beulah House. You want to, even on the opposite side of the road, sometimes the people look at us, well, you sure you want to come in? No, so we don't even think of going near it. Now we can have our lessons up there in very nice classrooms. And all these are stated in law. We can use it. The timings are also stated. It's also all provided for. I mean, if it's the Lord's will for FEBC to go on, and we pray that it can go on for more, well, nothing can stop it. Of course, FEBC must do its best to be faithful unto the Lord. But God's work still goes on unabated. And what is true for FEBC is also true for Tabernacle PB Church. If the Lord has put an open door before us, even if our strength is small, the work will still proceed. Of course, sometimes there may arise certain situations, certain obstacles, certain challenges, some disappointments. There will be people who will come. There will be people who will go. Some go because of legitimate reasons, because the Lord has called them to serve elsewhere. Proven to be faithful, the Lord calls them, they leave. Some are led to other churches. Well, the Lord be with them. Legitimate, they can go. Some may go for other reasons. Whatever the case, people come, people go. But if the Lord has determined that the work should remain, it will remain. Challenges still remains for Tabernacle PB Church, isn't it? Especially with regards to this building. We do not know whether we can continue to stay. But we believe that the Lord will provide, just like He has always in the past. The building, in fact, should be the less of our worries. Least of our worries. We should be more worried about, you know, how we are doing spiritually. And with regards to various ministries, areas of service, well, the Lord will also, should He determine and decree that the work will go on, the Lord will provide with suitable men and women. The Lord will help. And even if Tabernacle fails, one day Tabernacle, let's say, the Lord doesn't want the work to continue, does that mean that God's work has failed? Of course not. Please never let your minds to be just restricted that God's work is only restricted in Tabernacle BB Church. It's just our privilege to be a very, very small part of His work, and we must thank God for it. God's work is far greater than Tabernacle PB Church. It will still continue. God can raise a witness elsewhere. Just like in God's work, every generation there will always be a remnant. And we know that in the end, will God's work be fulfilled? Just like in verses 13 to 15, His work was completed. It cannot be stopped. Right? In the book of Revelation, it tells us that finally, right, God's plan for redemption, restoration will be completed, and it will be the diamond kingdom of the Lord, right, that will abide forever and ever. His work will still proceed. And that should be something that comforts us. And so, therefore, do you face with challenges and problems, disappointments, as you serve? But I know these things are very real. And sometimes when we help people receive, after that people go. And may even turn around and try to destroy the work. It should not be something that causes us to fret. Right? We just simply rest in the Lord. Lord, if it is your will that we, you know, Tabernacle PB Church can continue, or perhaps it's your view that God's work be shifted elsewhere and then be part of another work. Whatever the case, I know that your work will never be stopped. Whatever you have decreed will surely be fulfilled. I simply just rest in you. And I just serve thee faithfully to whatever capacity, whatever, what is the grace that you have bestowed upon me. And I know you can intervene. I know you can provide. I know you can protect. I just trust in you. Your work will never be stopped. It will always be fulfilled. So may the Lord encourage us, right, from his word. God's work is unstoppable. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank thee that thou art the Lord God Almighty. And we know that no man can stand against thee and win. And Lord, how wonderful a privilege it is that you have given us to serve thee, to be just a very small part of thy work. Oh, we are so undeserving of this privilege. And yet, Lord, thou hast placed us in such a position that we can serve thee. So help us, Lord, to serve thee with all that we have. And when issues, challenges, problems, and difficulties arise, O Lord, help us never to fret, but to always cast our cares upon thee. We know that we can rest in thy divine protection and provision, and that you can watch over all matters and move things to work out for the good of thy glory. So, Lord, we rest in this truth, and we pray, Lord, that you will strengthen the faith of thy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.